A former middle school teacher from New York City joined a new class of his own recently. Jamal Bowman is a freshman congressman, one of several young black progressive lawmakers elected last year as the country confronted systemic racism. So what does his presence mean for the people he represents and his party? NPR's Juana Summers has this profile.
Jamal Bowman clutched a handful of flyers as he walked around the Gun Hill subway station in the Bronx. It's the kind of hand-to-hand retail politics that felt unthinkable even just a few months ago. As the 2 and 5 trains clattered overhead, Bowman introduced himself to a woman. She didn't know he was her new congressman.
Come on now, how is that possible?
I was out here campaigning all in 2019 to 2020, and in 2020 I won the election against Elliot Engle.
Engle was a 16-term member of Congress with the backing of prominent Democrats. He faced questions about his absence from this district during the pandemic. Then, weeks before the primary, George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis. The video of his killing sparked unrest and protests across the nation, including in New York. Engle was caught on a hot mic talking to a local official at a news conference focused on that unrest. His comments suggested that he was only showing up there because Bowman was giving him a serious primary challenge.
If I didn't have a primary, I wouldn't care.
Say that again?
If I didn't have a primary, I wouldn't care.
Bowman, who is black and has spoken openly about his own experiences with law enforcement, described the video at the time as incredibly painful to watch. The middle school principal and first-time candidate ultimately defeated Engle to represent this district, which straddles the Bronx and Westchester County. It's majority black and Latino, and I asked Bowman what it meant for people here that he is now their representative in Washington.
You know, I used to live in public housing. You know, I grew up black in America. I grew up in, you know, close to Spanish Harlem where, you know, we ain't have much money, but we was like all friends and cool and playing and going to school together, and it was just dope. So I feel like I'm representing, you know, like my tribe, like my kinship, like kin, you know?
We were talking at a public housing development in the Bronx. Bowman said he'd been here a few months ago, and the area was deserted, dead quiet. But as we talked, there were kids running around a playground, people selling fresh fruit from tables on the sidewalk. There was music pulsing.
I gotta tell you, this is like, it's very festive outside right now. Like, there's a lot of good energy everywhere.
Good energy. But the Bronx is also still recovering from the effects of the pandemic.
Things are starting to come back. But I know for a fact when I go into certain communities and I ask the question, have you been vaccinated? I know I'm going to get like a 50-50 response.
That's what happened when Bowman met Gianna Guzman, who works at the casino in Yonkers.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Thank
too.
You so much. Are you vaccinated?
Not yet. I'm
Come
about
on,
to be,
man.
Though.
Come on. What are you waiting for?
I will be next week.
You promise. You have your appointment.
Bowman's mother died in February after battling COVID-19. And he says he worries about people in this district who still aren't making a plan to get vaccinated.
But then I got to have the conversation to encourage people and persuade them to actually go get vaccinated. That it's safe, that it's free. And that it will not only save your life, but the lives of others. So,
some of Bowman's supporters say they can already feel the difference of having him represent them.
I still feel like he's a text away. He called me to check on me during the pandemic.
That's Menorah Sanjit Raj, a birth worker who lives in Yonkers.
And also my clients that are the most high need. He keeps a pulse on the community. He follows up.
She helped Bowman organize his first campaign event focused on the maternal mortality rate among black women, which is exponentially higher than for white women. Bowman was elected after running a campaign steeped in today's progressive policy. He's been vocal on issues like criminal justice, reparations, and education. And he joins a growing number of House progressives looking to turn their presence into power.
What's the best piece of advice you've gotten as a new member of Congress?
Use your power. You know, there's this belief that, you know, power is like a bank account. The more you use it, the more you lose it. But this person told me the more you use it, the more you gain it.
That advice came from Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, part of the foursome of female members of Congress who have called themselves the Squad. The others are Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota.
The Squad is definitely my people. Alex, AOC, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, you know, she was a mentor from afar even before I got to Congress. Same thing with Ayanna and Ilhan and Rashida. Just four badass women of color just tearing shit up.
Senior Democratic lawmakers also praise Bowman for how he's approached the job in his first 6 months. Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, a fellow New Yorker, is the chair of the House Democratic Caucus.
It takes 218 votes to get anything done, which means you have to go out and find 217 additional people to agree with your perspective. You know, that requires relationships, intentionality, and strategic advocacy. And Jamal Bowman came into Congress recognizing that and has really laid out a vision and begun to execute.
Bowman says he's willing to work with members across the political spectrum, but he is also not afraid to take on members of his own party when he disagrees.
What pisses me off about my party, the Democratic Party, is we keep playing this sort of moderate game where we pander to independent, so-called middle-of-the-road voters as opposed to being true world leaders for justice and equality.
And right. Take a listen to how he responded when asked about President Biden's position on reparations for survivors of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre. To be clear, the White House has not said whether Biden supports reparations for the survivors, but he didn't mention it in a speech in Tulsa last month.
You have to provide the vision for what needs to happen and what's possible. And, you know, this is where he, you know, as a white man in America, falls short. And where as many white men and white people in America fall short, you know.
Bowman has a clear vision of what he believes the future of his party on Capitol Hill can look like.
I think you're going to continue to have members of Congress who are progressive and other members who are retiring or will be beaten in primaries, who's going to force the House to do more and do better and force the White House to do more and do better. That's going to happen. That is happening right now as we speak.
For that change to really happen, he wants to see more people like himself run and win elections. Juana Summers, NPR News.